As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way.
Hello, hello, and good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. I've talked to you all before. If you, perhaps you've had a chance to listen to the program about the gospel being sensible, that it makes sense that we have such a thing as the common salvation, Jude verse 3, and that each one of us should therefore pay attention to what God has to tell us in a way that makes sense. A lot of people, religion is to them whatever moves them at the moment, whatever emotion that they are feeling, but feelings are fickle, and it is difficult to say that people understand why they believe what they believe. You need a reason. If somebody asks why, you should be able to say because. Why? Because the Lord told us to be that way, that each man might be able to give an answer for those who ask of him a reason for the hope that is within us, the Bible says. So you have to have a religion whereby you go back to saying, here is the reason, and the reason makes sense. Now, take for example the issue of being good. Somebody wants to be good, but a person says to you, well, why did you do that? Why did you do that for this person? Why did you sacrifice of your time, your efforts, your energy, and so forth? Mama always said to be good, but she didn't always tell you why. So think about it from this standpoint. First of all, what is it to be good? I'm using this idea of good as an example. Now, children don't even know what to call good. It seems as you grow up, too, you learn different words of what good is. Remember back in the old days, what was good became cool. What was cool became groovy. What was groovy became rad. Rad became bad, but remember, bad was good. What was bad became fly. What was fly became cool again. Finally, what was cool became sick. And at that point, even I don't know why you just can't stick with the word good. So you want to be good. And by whatever term you use to describe it, the word good must refer to somebody who is doing something for a reason. You want to help that person for a reason. You will not lie for a reason. When you're little, you can't understand all the reasons. You just simply know, Mama will fuss at me if I don't do it that way. You don't know why. You just simply know you're told to be good. So Mama always said to be good, but she didn't always explain to you why. If you want to understand the why and wherefore of religion, then that goes back to understanding how that we mimic and want to fulfill the image of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, beginning at verse 45, Jesus said, "Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." Notice here that Jesus gave a definite reason for how they were behaving. Even people who don't use logic, who don't make sense out of the gospel, they themselves will have reasons. They have motive for what they're doing. And Jesus says the reason that you won't do, according to the truth that I tell you, is because I am telling you the truth, and therefore you don't believe me. You see, when people are confronted by the truth, it implies they're going to have to change their life. They don't want to be inconvenienced. That is a very difficult thing. It challenges what they are doing. If Jesus had come with a soft soap message, if he had told them, hey, everything's great, and you're okay, I'm okay, let's just let bygones be bygones, everybody, let's all get along. Well, what kind of a savior is that? He wouldn't be telling them the truth. God demands repentance. God demands change. God demands conviction. And so Jesus said, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you, he says in John 8, verse 46, which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God. Jesus uses impeccable logic here in order to impugn their motives and to show them that they did not have a good reason for following their present course. They were motivated by pure selfishness. They were motivated by the convenience and comfort of their own lives and the way they lived, but not by a desire to serve God. They were not of God. You take somebody that is working in a factory. Can he do like people in religion today and say, well, I don't need a reason to do what I do or to believe what I believe? A man working in a factory or any job must have good sense. He must use it at work. You can't say when you're on the factory line, well, I like to do it this way. That won't cut it. If you're supposed to put widget A into sprocket B, then you'd better do just that. You can't say, well, I just figured I'd put this square doohickey in this round hole over here. It doesn't work that way. What you do has to make sense. But in religion, well, I just like it that way. Well, that just simply won't cut it. Daddy always said, that won't cut it either. All kinds of reasons that man gives, and none of them will suffice, of course. So we're going to look at several more points involved in this, actually not too many more, and then the lesson will be yours.
When I messed up and I was a child, sometime the question would be given, why did you do it? And my response was, I don't know. So in addition to those that we gave before, I like it that way, Daddy always said, then you also have the rather childlike response of, I don't know. Well, that also is not acceptable with God. You've got to know why, at least to the extent to where you know who you can trust. It's like, once again, what little Johnny says when he's scolded. You know, why did you do it? I don't know, Daddy. I just don't understand why I would behave that way. I'm just a child. Well, we are supposed to be the children of God, and yet at the same time, God expects a greater maturity of thought when it comes to us and our religion than you would have among your little children. And it's not that when the Lord says something, there's a problem with you saying, God said it, and that settles it. That's fine, but that's because you have already developed the biblical faith and the reasons behind having that complete trust in God so that you can have the same kind of trust that is expressed by Samuel and Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let me give you an example, show you what I'm talking about. If somebody says, do this, well, why? Because I said so. This is acceptable only if you understand the principle expressed in 1 Samuel 3. Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, talking about God, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. It is already established who is talking to them. They already knew the appropriate source of wisdom and authority. A lot of people today do what they are doing in religion, and they don't know why they do it because they never have established the appropriate authority, the appropriate source of wisdom. So they don't know that that message from the televangelist is actually from God. They don't know the message from their so-called pastor is actually from God. They just took it that way. But instead, here you have people knowing the source of the message. It's the Lord. And Eli knows who's trying to speak to Samuel. Therefore, the appropriate response to God is, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." Therefore, to say, "Well, I just did it because I was told to do that," is fine as long as you already know the source. If you don't know the source, you've got to find that. You've got to look it up yourself. You have to search the scriptures daily to see whether those things are so, which we will study on shortly. So Samuel goes then in 1 Samuel 3, and he lays down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. He said, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And that's exactly the attitude that we need to have today. Once you have established that it is from God, so only if you understand that you've already got your source, then you can have that good kind of attitude that says, wherever it is that God takes me, I know that's fine, even if I don't know the end result of it. I mean, that's, you're looking at faith there, right? But the faith has to come, once again, from the appropriate source. The faith has to be in the right thing. A lot of people put way too much faith in their preacher. They put way too much faith in their childhood friend. They put way too much faith in their own sense of emotional well-being. Well, I feel good about it, therefore I can put my trust in that. No, none of those things are associate to true Bible faith. Grown-ups need grown-up reasons for why you trust in someone. I completely and implicitly trust in God, but not in men. Now, there is a need, ladies and gentlemen, for a reason. I want to go back to some principled passages and look at those with you for just a moment. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible expresses to us the need for a reason. It says there, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give a defense to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Christians are to be a reasonable people. And if you go back to look at this verse, notice how detailed he gets with it. In order to have the kind of true faith that God wants inside you, he says in your hearts here, then he says it's got to be something that is ready to express itself. Those who talk about a feeling better felt than told, therefore I don't have to tell you, are people that do not have the kind of defense, the kind of Christian backbone, if you will, that is required of someone who has to be able to show a reason, a defense, to someone who asks you, "I want to know why you believe what you believe. Why do you live in hope?" And you have to be able to say that. If you cannot say that, then in meekness and fear, you are not providing what God wants. He wants you to give a reason. And if you cannot give that reason, once again, you're not thinking in a reasonable way. You're not being sober-minded. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 2, God was giving explanation in Titus about how different people, older men, younger men, older women, younger women, how these were supposed to behave. And God encourages to be sober-minded. The sober here does not mean just staying away from alcohol. It refers to somebody being a reasonable person. You have to have good reason. And therefore, God completely backs up in these two passages, 1 Peter 3 in verse 15 and in Titus 2 in verse 2, the need to be sober-minded. Also, I would like to point out, important matters require serious reasons. One time I was working with a guy named Ed. Ed was a heavy smoker. I mean, he could just puff one right after another. I don't know how many packs a day he smoked. So Ed was talking to us, me and another guy at work. He said for God to let him know if God didn't want Ed to smoke. That's right, he set up a condition with God and told God, if you don't want me to smoke, then just let me know. Now, Ed wasn't going to look in the Bible, of course. And Ed wasn't going to ask his doctor, of course. Ed was not going to judge by how much he was hacking and sputtering and coughing, of course. But Ed was going to set up a condition with God to say, God's going to have to come to me in some booming voice out of heaven or something like that. I'm not sure exactly how Ed thought that he would manifest himself. But God was going to have to tell Ed if he didn't want him to smoke. And so you can really tell Ed wanted to keep on smoking. And I suppose that he did. As long as I knew him, I think that he did. And this is somebody who is not using a serious kind of reasoning with God. You don't set up a condition with God. Well, Lord, if you don't want me to eat 5,000 calories a day and get over 300 pounds or whatever, then all you've got to do is turn the moon into green cheese. Well, you can't set up an unreasonable condition with God. God never said he would do that kind of thing. You don't control the Lord. And why would God do such a thing when he already gives us all the guidelines that we need in the Bible? Ladies and gentlemen, important matters require serious reasons. Now let's move on from that and take it a little further. Various reasons are given for beliefs today. Are they good and serious reasons? Or are they just excuses? So, for example, you have people that say, I am what I am because of family or relationships. Way too many women fall into this trap. Why? Because they marry and they act as if they must adopt whatever it is, the faith or lack thereof, of their husbands. This is totally a misconception of what the Bible is talking about when it says, wives, submit unto your own husbands, Ephesians 5. That doesn't mean you lose your personal responsibility before God and you stop serving God all because you really like that boy. Now, that's not going to cut it. You think that on the day of judgment, God's going to allow you to get off the hook and you don't have to be responsible for your own decisions in life all because you got married? You didn't lose your personal identity. You still are who you are. And you're still responsible before God. Look at all the different Bible examples of women who had very foolish husbands, for example. Look at Nabal in the Old Testament with Abigail. And yet, she was a responsible woman. God will hold you to that same standard. You must be responsible, and you cannot say, because of my family, because of my relationships. Oh, here's another one too, relationships in the family. Somebody has children, and they don't bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and it's like they, well, I can't get them together. You get them together to go to school in the morning, don't you? You can make sure that they are instructed in their three R's, and if they fail a math test, you're all over them. But if they can't tell you a verse in the Bible, not a single one, then you don't seem to care. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not going to cut it. Family or relationships are not a good reason not to serve God or to demand that we have a good and reasonable and logical religion ourselves. Another thing that people do, which I've already talked about before, is that people say that their preacher told them this or told them that. And on the day of judgment, the preacher is not going to be standing right there beside you. You're not going to be able to say, it's all on him. He didn't assume your identity. He does not become your scapegoat either. So you cannot say, the preacher said this, and I always did what he said. Well, who told you to do what he said? Not God. That's not a good enough reason. That's one of the reasons that are given. Well, I believe that preacher, and he said so and so. That doesn't mean anything. You can call him whatever you want. The pastor, the reverend, any name you want to give him, that doesn't make him God. And a lot of people know this. Come on, you already know it, but you still believe them. And they'll send you pieces of literature, and you'll send them money and all kinds of stuff. How gullible can people be? You have to have good reasons for your beliefs. And just thinking, well, that preacher is an eloquent speaker, or I liked what I heard from him, does not establish a good reason in the eyes of God. Doesn't make any sense. I want to believe it, somebody says. Why do people want to believe certain messages? Well, because it's positive. They generally like things that do not tell them, don't do this or don't do that. They like a religion that's always about, yes, whatever you decided, that was good. Things that cause their conscience to feel good. I want to believe it. This is the kind of thing that people may not come out and say, but really it is at the root of a lot of their religion. They just like the positive nature of it. This preacher acts like everything's going to be fine with me and I'm going to get ahead and I'm going to fulfill all of my earthly and heavenly desires all at the same time. And the fact of the matter is that he has no Bible behind what he just said. You just wanted to believe it. That is not a good response before God. How many of the Old Testament prophets pointed out that the false prophets, they were all around them. And they would always tell the king. The king would say, should we go up and attack a certain place? Oh yeah, king, go up and attack it, go up and attack it. They're just always giving them a positive message. But sometimes the message needed to come from God. No, you do that and you will die. But they didn't want to hear it. and therefore they suffered their downfall because of it. You go back and look at the old kings, Ahab and others, they didn't want what God gave them. It's not that they didn't believe in God, they just didn't like what his message was. You would think that a lot of people today would understand, in looking at the Ten Commandments, for example, that so many of them are thou shalt nots. You have to avoid some things that are bad. You can't just have a message 24/7 that says, I want this, I like this, this is what makes me feel good, this is a positive message, I will do that. Well, there are some things also that are to be avoided. The ways of the flesh, the ways of the world. There was a man, I want to close with a story, okay? There was a man by the name of Saul, and he thought that he would go by what he feels. Why do you believe that you're saved? Think about it, ladies and gentlemen, all of those listening right now. Why do you believe that you're saved? Do you have good reasons? Saul thought that everything was fine with him because of how he felt. How do I know that to be the case? At different times, the Apostle Paul, who was called Saul, would reflect upon his life. And in Acts chapter 23 and in verse 1, we have one such instance where the Apostle is talking about himself. He would do that. He looked at the council that was grilling him at the moment, and he said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Now think about what this man had done, Saul. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the church. He was going to Damascus to arrest and harass Christians, to do bad things to them. And yet he thought that he was doing God's will. He thought everything was fine. He had lived in all good conscience before God. But God showed him he was wrong. Therefore, your conscience cannot always be your guide. Therefore, he could not trust that that was going to be the be-all and end-all, the way that he could base his religion. Say, I felt like that was going to be the way to go. How many people today feel good about whatever religion they're in? Why won't they talk to you? Because they feel comfortable in whatever lifestyle that they have. By the way, that also accounts for so many people out there that don't go to church anywhere, for why you can't get them to be religious. They feel comfortable in the life they have here and now. Even though you can reason with them about temperance, that is self-control, and the judgment to come, they still do not respond to that because they feel comfortable here. And they allow their feelings to be their guide. And so many people may do that. My conscience will be my guide. My feelings will be my guide. Well, the conscience was not a sufficient guide for the Apostle Paul. He was persecuting the church, even though his conscience was saying that that's the way to go. But when he received the facts that told him I was going in the wrong direction, he had to change direction. Now, let's look at one more thing about him here. Acts chapter 26 and verse 9. In Acts 26 and verse 9, it is said also about the Apostle Paul. Now let's back up to verse 8. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God should raise the dead? He had posed that question in Acts 26. And then in verse 9, indeed, Paul says, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. So he's saying to him, just because it's a new idea doesn't make it wrong. If it's a logical thing, if it's a reasonable thing, why would you not believe it? He said, I thought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He thought that different things were good ideas, and God had to point out to him, Paul, not a good idea. Not a good idea. So once again, why do you believe that you're saved? Paul thought that he was right with God. Wasn't so, was it? You can't be saying it's because of how I feel. Oh, somebody says, it's not just how I feel, it's because the Lord has come into my life. Got a little problem here. A little bit of a problem. Your reasoning is circular. How do you know the Lord has come into my life? Because he's come into my life. That doesn't make a lot of sense. So if I ask you, how do you know you're saved? Because the Lord has come into my life. What does it mean for the Lord to come into your life? Well, it means you got saved. You see what I'm getting at? It's just a circular reasoning. There's no facts given in that kind of situation. It either just goes back to your feelings, or you're going back to nothing. That is, I don't know how to express it, this better felt than told idea in religion, and since I cannot express it, and it wouldn't make sense if I tried to express it, therefore I will not give a reason for the hope that is within me. Once again, 1 Peter 3, verse 15, instead, I'll just go out here and just follow whatever kind of religion I want to. And ladies and gentlemen, if we do that, then we have no assurance that when you get to the day of judgment, it will be all right with God. I know a lot of people are going to think that they're all right with God. But the Lord points out that when the great day arrives, they will say, many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this? Have we not done that? They thought they were all right with God. They thought they had done enough. They thought they had figured it out. And yet, according to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, they're going to hear the words, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. He never knew them because they never had a good reason to believe that they were right with God. They never had done what God actually demanded of them. Respond in faith and obey the gospel. Will you obey? Not because you just want to. You may not want to later on, and then what about your soul? You won't stay faithful that way. Are you going to obey? Not because somebody else in your family did. Whatever reasons somebody else had, they might have been good reasons, but they're not your reasons until you understand them, until you have the same kind of reasoning. Will you obey because of Jesus? He's the real reason. Sometimes they say Jesus is the reason for the season when they talk about Christmas. There's a whole lot more than Christmas to think about, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus is the reason for every time, every season, every action, everything that we are and do in life. My life is hid in Christ. And whether I live or die, it is all gain in Jesus Christ. And if somebody is going to claim Jesus Christ, then they need to have a good reason to know that there is hope within them, that they're going to live with Jesus forever and ever. And that hope comes from knowing the promise of God. God promised it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you believe his promise? No, you can't say, no, I had a feeling. I said the sinner's prayer. I had an experience with the Lord. God didn't say any of those things. He didn't say, have an experience with the Lord and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say, have a good feeling about it and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say all of these things that people come up with today. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the promise of God. And I may feel about it one day differently than the other, but the promise of God does not change. The promise of God is a bedrock. It is sure. It is something that guides me on in life and lets me know that I have the Lord Jesus. Do you have him? If there's some way that we can help you at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, come by and see us. Let us reason with you about the scriptures so that you can know why you believe what you believe. You'll receive Bible instruction in all of our Sunday school and Wednesday night Bible classes. You'll always receive book, chapter, and verse for the things that we say in our sermons, Sunday morning and Sunday night as well. So why not come out and pay us a visit at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ? And thank you very much for listening this morning.